From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of February 2013, the last trading day of the month, and crop insurance setting day. We'll talk more about that a bit later in the program. Hopefully, Gary Schnitke will send us the finalized numbers. In the main space, we'll hear from Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises about the futures markets. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll talk with Matt Bennett, most likely from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, although Matt is busy at a Decatur, Illinois meeting today. And then as we close out our program, we'll hear from Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, in Chicago, this is the way the numbers settled up on this Thursday afternoon. Futures finished in the March soft red winter wheat at $7.08, they were 3¾ higher. The May at 7.11 were down a penny, and July at 7.18¾, up 3¾ cents. Corn, a March contract, 7.18½, up 9. In the May at 7.01½, up 6¼. July futures 6½ higher at 6.85¼. September futures 5.81½, up 3¾. December contract at 5.56 in the corn pit, up 2¼. And the March at 5.67¾, 3¾ higher. May beans for the day at $14.74, up 16½ cents. The May at, The May now at $14.51, up 11½. In July, $14.36, up a dime. August soybeans, $13.91½, up 9¾. In September, at $13.16¾, up 7½ cents. November beans, $12.60¾, 3½ cents higher on the afternoon. Bean meal futures at $4.35.50, up 6¢. Bean oil at $48.85, down 42 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby February at 128, that's 55 cents lower. April at 129.85, 2½ cents lower. The March feeders at 142 were up 55, and the April contract at 144.92½, 55 cents higher for the day. April lean hogs, $81 even, unchanged. The May futures there at $89.30, up a dime on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now what the forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. They're calling for scattered snow showers, cloudy skies, a high of 36 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered snow showers will continue, cloudy and a low of 27. And then tomorrow, Friday, scattered flurries, cloudy, a high of 34, northwest winds at 10 to 14, mostly cloudy on Friday evening and a low of 23, partly sunny on Saturday with a high near 32, and Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 17 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 32 again, and Sunday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 20. On Monday, a high near 38. Monday night, a snow shower or two, cloudy and 28. And Tuesday, a chance of snow, cloudy with a high of 37. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and 21. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 37 degrees. Taking a quick look at the outside markets for the afternoon. Crude oil for the day finished up like this. The nearby contract at $91.92. That's down 85 cents. The RBOB gasoline up 5Ⅷ cents to $2.91¼. And ethanol at $2.40¼¢, or rather $2.40 up a penny and 7¢. And the RBOB gasoline at 4⅓¢ higher at for the trade in the RBOB gas. The spread actually is between RBOB and ethanol 51⅔¢ for the day afternoon, and that is 4⅓¢ wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas for the day at $3.48, up 4⅙¢. Heating oil or diesel fuel down a penny and 6¢ at $2.97 for the afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon, the last trading day of the month of February. It is the 28th. Good afternoon to Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon, Dan. Thanks for being with us
today. Hi, Todd.
Hey, so tell me about the marketplace on this last trading day of the month of February.
Well, today's advance is in soybeans. Actually, soybeans ended up the month higher. I think is a good technical sign that maybe the soybean market does have some legs underneath it to maybe extend the rally on into the March time frame, and we'll kind of go from there. I still think we still have to be cautious and not get ourselves too carried away on the bull side, but today's export sales, a strong sign that China's going to stay in the market here for a little longer than what the market had anticipated, and that is going to be supportive at least to the old crop months, and that could possibly at least follow through into the new and maybe give us a little better pricing opportunity than maybe what we thought we were going to have 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the export sales have been driving the marketplace for soybeans for quite some time, but eventually we will simply run out of beans, or, well, actually, if the pace keeps up, we'll just run out of beans before the end of the marketing year, I suppose, and they'll have to turn somewhere else.
Well, we'll either run out of beans, but prior to that running out of beans, I'm sure what the market will try to do is to stop from running out of beans, and that is at least take old crop prices to the point that would encourage sales cancellations or some rolling forward of maybe some new crop months. The problem is Brazil or South America as a total doesn't appear to have the capabilities to move enough soybeans into the China market fast enough to satisfy their demand. So that is why we're seeing some sales switches coming from South America on into the United States, and that's basically what happened here today with this big sale that we were announced today. So at some point in time, that will crack. We're not going to run out of beans tomorrow or next week, but clearly we can't continue the pace, the export sales pace that we've been on at the moment for any meaningful length of time, but at least in the short run, China wants to buy U.S. beans, and that is what's driving the old crop soybean market.
Is there any indication that China is switching some of the sales that are already on the books from old to new crops so that that might relieve some of the pressure?
Well, I think that may be the function of the market at some point in time, but that's a little early.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about March 1 tomorrow. A lot of that switching from old to new really doesn't really get going until you kind of get into that June-July time frame. I mean, we don't even have our new crop planted, let alone produced. So until we get a little further down the road, China's going to try to, I mean, we're a reliable supplier of soybeans. South America is not necessarily a steady, reliable supplier. Argentina farmers are fighting with the government, and the government's ordering them to deliver 2 million tons of soybeans to the export market. You've got labor problems in Brazil. So, I mean, and overall inventory levels in China are at very, very low levels. Prices are rising, so they need inventory in there to keep prices from skyrocketing in China. So that is what we're seeing here as demand comes to the United States at a time when if everything would have been going smooth in South America, maybe they would be getting more South American inventories into their country.
You mentioned that the monthly close was higher. That would be for the nearby March or the lead option contract.
Correct.
But if you look to the November, it was an outside down month.
It is, but that's a different market back there. At the moment, you know, the trade feels that there's plenty of acres to go around, and if we have something closer to normal type weather pattern, that we're going to build inventory levels. That is the same story in the corn market. Just because that's the way the trade wants to play it for now, that doesn't necessarily mean that will end up being the case as we go down the road. We have two markets going on, very tight old crop inventory situation, and the potential, and I want to emphasize the potential, of a large big crop. And that potential could flip in a minute the other direction. So, but for the time being, that's the way the trade's playing it. We're losing a little interest in the index fund crowd, kind of moving away from agriculture, thinking maybe the bubble is over with. But at least for the time being, the demand story is in very tight old crop supplies on both corn and soybeans.
Very well, supply story is titled crop supplies for corn and soybeans. But demand is, well, soybeans has been really strong. Demand for corn domestically has been pretty good, although it slips just simply because there's just not that many bushels around. But on the export market, it's just not there at all.
It's not there at all, but I think there's a window here that you're going to see a pickup of that. It's not going to be enough to make up for what we've lost, but there is going to be a window there that export demand could pick up a little bit. The key thing, I think, in corn is the rebound that we saw in ethanol grind here last week. Basically, it was the second highest grind for the year. And I think that is a good sign that maybe this ethanol market is back turning again. The margins are profitable. And then when you look at that overall balance sheet, and again, everything hinges upon how reliable USDA's December 1 stocks number is. But if that was halfway in the ballpark, there's still some demand rationing that needs to take hold. 600 million bushel carry out is not going to work. A year ago at this time, they were starting to plant corn in central Illinois around the 10th of March. That doesn't look like that's going to happen. They were planting corn in the Delta a year ago. Texas corn was being planted, and at the moment, Texas is dry. We're ready to plant, but without moisture, we're not going to plant, and the Delta is too wet to plant, and there doesn't look like there's going to be any early planting in Illinois or Ohio River Valley. So at some point in time, the market's going to worry about not having any early new crop inventories coming available. So that is going to make the old crop situation, I think, more bullish at some point in time, and I think that's part of the reason why this old crop market has jumped up sharply here over the past few days. We're going to finish out the week with a weekly reversal to the upside. Now, we did end up closing lower for the month, but it was an inside month. So I think technically corn is still in good position, especially the way it's performing this week, to extend that price strength as we go on into March. And then we'll kind of take one week at a time.
What's your view of the sequester impact on grains and oilseeds? It appears that's just going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I'm about 15 minutes away from the St. Louis airport to get back to my compound in Waco before Armageddon.
I get it. Okay.
I want to be surrounded by AK-47s before tomorrow at before tonight at midnight, given all of the fears that's come out of Washington over the past week. So that's where I'm headed. For the most part, I think that has been terribly overblown, and I think it just goes to show how difficult it's going to be to try to get our deficit in some kind of sustainable path. And I guess we'll see if Armageddon actually occurs tomorrow. I will be safe in Waco, Texas, with 65, 70-degree temperatures while you guys got cold and snowy temperatures up here.
All right. Well, you stay safe there. Hey, this afternoon, I received in the mail, and you were part of this to begin with, from Daryl Klusendorf at Klusendorf Steakhouse in Peoria. Remember, he played a little tune for us when we were there for the Pork Expo. He sent it to me, so I'm gonna take us out on your note and his song. How about that?
Okay, and I will I will fly back Monday. Providing the airlines aren't all backed up for 10 hours or whatnot, at the Beef House with my Johnny Football T-shirt on and my Tesla.
We'll let you in anyway. Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
I look forward to seeing everybody at the Beef House next week.
All right, thanks, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Now, here's Daryl Klusendorf with Eat Your Money from the Sky Harbor Steakhouse in Peoria, Illinois.
What will they do when the markets crash? What will they do when the markets all crash? I'm not a betting man, but I bet they print cash, print more money. The dollar's up to 40 cents a pound. Dollars are up to 40 cents a pound. It's a whole lot cheaper than a pound of ground round. Eat your money. You can eat it, you can smoke it, you can insulate your house. Blame it on your broker, the dude is such a louse. Stuff it in your mattress like it falls off dollar trees. I love it in America, the money's free. Eat your money, just eat the money.
That's Daryl Klusendorf. He's at the Sky Harbor Steakhouse in Peoria, Illinois. He sent me that little ditty. Played it for us up at the Pork Expo when we made a presentation there last month. Just in from Gary Schnitke. He sent me an email with what he thinks probably are the crop insurance numbers for the day. He says this may be off, but it's really close. $5.65 per corn and $12.87 per soybean. So the crop insurance numbers are in. This has been the last trading day of the month of February. Those numbers are now set, $5.65 per corn and $12.87 for soybeans. Up next, we'll hear from Lisa Braltz.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land, the Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, our ag calendar, including next week's events. On Monday, I'll host the Illinois Soybean Summit in Bloomington. On Tuesday, we'll be at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Wednesday evening, I'll be in Lincoln at the Logan County Fairgrounds for an ag panel, and then with Farm Credit Service in Jacksonville on Thursday evening of next week, and can find all of those in the calendar at willag.org. And you can find, too, the latest from Gary Schnitke on GRIP HR payments by county. It's all there at WILLAG.org. Now up next, Lisa Braltz pulls up a chair to the dinner table in this week's edition of In My Backyard.
Dinner is an ever-evolving concept with different contexts depending on who you are. It can be wined into a question. Mom, what's for dinner? It can be a tool to get to know someone a little better. It can be a place to make deals or discuss the future. It can be had solo in the car on the way to the next destination, or it can be enjoyed among friends and family clustered around a table. Maybe it's your noon meal. Maybe it's your evening meal. Either way, it's one of the traditional three squares, and these days, dinner carries a heavy load. There's been a lot of fuss about dinner recently. As we in the United States have become more aware of what we're eating, where it comes from, and how it's made, our habits of mealtime, when we're eating, where we're eating it, and with whom we're eating it, have also come under scrutiny. NPR very recently aired a piece discussing the realities of the family dinner hour in this country. I haven't listened yet because I didn't want their piece to affect how this one was written, but my guess is that their research and mine came up about the same. Roughly 60% of American families are eating dinner together somehow at least 5 times a week, and that for many families, it might be more about the quality of the dinner experience over the quantity of dinners experienced. When I was a girl in the dark ages, we ate dinner together most of the time, the four of us, until my brother and I were teenagers and my mother went back to school. Even though both my parents were and are excellent cooks, my absolute favorite family dinners involved going out to eat, a rarity in my childhood, or holiday dinners when our exotic to me extended family would make one of their rare visits for Thanksgiving or Christmas. The connection over food at those dinners was quite memorable. Dinner was always loud, which it never was when it was just the four of us. I learned more about the politics and current events of the day by being uncharacteristically silent at the table, long after the food was gone, basking in adult conversation over coffee and slowly savored pie. Those dinners stand out to me because I saw my extended family interact with each other, and those dinners also hinted at the promise of a grown-up future. And, well, we also had the best food. On Monday, March 4th, I'll be hosting a program on WILL-TV called Come and Get It, Your Family Dinner Favorites. WILL put out a call for recipes from listeners and viewers and received over 100 different submissions, some developed by the cooks themselves and some developed by their grandmothers. A few of these home cooks will join me on the show, demonstrating the recipe they submitted. A couple of local chefs you might recognize will also be on the show, showing us recipes they like to make for their families for dinner. Rounding out the guests will be a pair of farmers talking about what to look for at the markets in the spring and surprising local produce to look for right now. And we'll also have a guest pairing some wines with the featured recipes. I hope you can join us. I mean, of course, it's important for families, however you define that concept, to come together for dinner and have that FaceTime when they can. But it's also important for us to get back into the kitchen when we can, to take the time when we have it to create a good, simple meal that satisfies on every level. Bringing those two concepts together is what the show is all about. As I write this, my husband Jim is preparing turkey burgers and a salad for our dinner. Our 14-year-old daughter, Lily, sits at the tiny kitchen table reading a book and snacking on pieces of green pepper. I'm typing at a table in the living room, basketball on TV. This may be how we end up eating dinner tonight, and it's all good. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz for her In My Backyard segments and to our Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, who puts the programs together.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Well, in just a couple of minutes, I'll return. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. In the main space, let me offer up one other opportunity for you. Please do visit our website. It's at willag.org. If you look into the calendar, you'll see not only the all-day ag outlook there, but you'll also make note that we'll be out next week quite a few times on Monday at the Soybean Summit in Bloomington Normal at ISU. On Wednesday, we'll be in Lincoln at the Logan County Fairgrounds, and on Thursday, these are both evening events, in Jacksonville at Hamilton's. You can find all the details online at willag.org. Back in just a couple, and we'll talk about the ag weather.
It's National Chili Day. There are several theories on where chili began, among them that cowboys invented chili while driving cattle. Supposedly, cooks planted oregano, chilies, and onions among patches of mesquite to protect them from foraging cattle. The next time they passed the same trail, they'd collect the ingredients, add beef, and make a dish called Trail Drive Chili. Perhaps the earliest mention of the dish, although not by name, was by J.C. Clopper, who in 1828 noted how poor people cut meat they could afford into a kind of hash. with nearly as many pieces of pepper as there were pieces of meat. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, at the DuPont Corporation, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers invented nylon. A patent was issued in 1837, and nylon stockings soon followed. Nylon has also been used in products as varied as tires to blood plasma filters. Carruthers also invented neoprene, a synthetic rubber that's today often used in horse breast collars. And speaking of horses, in 1979, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse died. The pilot show, entitled The Wonderful World of Wilbur Pope, was produced by George Burns, but it was never broadcast. TV bosses, however, thought it could be a successful TV show with a few changes. The TV series Mr. Ed first became a syndicated show on January 5th of 1961. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check now the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. On the phone line is agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start here in the Midwest and our part of the world. What do you see over the next few days?
Well, in the Midwest, we have this persistent cold flow that is the result of a large closed low-pressure system aloft over eastern Lake Ontario, now drifting slowly eastward. And around this big counterclockwise circulation are a series of little ripples, or short waves as we call them, that are bringing episodes of cloudiness and a few showers, mostly snow showers, down through Lake Michigan and Illinois, Indiana, all the way down into Kentucky and Tennessee. This pattern will continue, although the moisture is going to dry out, we think, so we're going to stay cold. But we're at least not going to see as much snow. We've only had little intermittent bursts of snow in the past 12, 18 hours, and that's all we'll see is just some light snow showers, maybe enhanced a little bit along the lakefront area up north. And then we'll be cold and dry, and temperatures are going to be dropping into the low 20s tonight, into the teens tomorrow, Sunday and Monday nights. And high temperatures are going to be stuck in the 30s all this time, maybe even just below 30s, 33 to 36 degrees or so. So it's going to be a cold period, and we're getting the month of March off to a cold start. Traditionally, March is supposed to come in like a lion and go out like a lamb. Well, that usually refers to blustery weather, windy weather. This is not going to be a windy commencement to March, but it will be cold and unseasonable. And maybe we'll make up for it later in the month.
If we make up for it later in the month, will it be very good for, and I'm thinking in particular, the hard red winter wheat crop?
Yeah, they need moisture down there, and they finally got moisture in the form of some good snow. And Wichita, as a matter of fact, had their record snowfall for the month of February, I think something like 40 inches or some number like that. That's normally a very dry place. And that snow will melt off gradually and get into the soil. But the real problem there, Todd, isn't so much the moisture now that they're getting, but just what emerged and what they got up, what kind of a stand they got before we went into winter dormancy. And that wasn't very good. And it's going to be hard to cure that even with good moisture. We'll need warm weather, and we'll need a real break on extended period of enough moisture and warm weather, maybe to get some of that seeded grain up that hadn't even germinated so far this season.
Thanks so much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt is an agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back again tomorrow. You can always visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Until we talk again, you have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.